Hare Krishna. Today we are reading from Prabhupada Nectar. This book is compiled by His Holiness Satswarupa Dasa Goswami. His changing his ways and his staying the same. Some devotees have analyzed that during Srila Prabhupada's years in ISKCON, 1966 to 1977, he passed through three stages. A first phase was when Srila Prabhupada was the only responsible preacher or devotee and everyone turned to him as the sole spiritual guide with no intermediary. This was the way Srila Prabhupada appeared to the devotees in the first New York temple and in the temple in San Francisco. As Swamiji, he was lenient. He always seemed to have plenty of time to talk with anyone, and he only gradually requested his disciples to follow the rules and regulations. He was trying to get a movement started after a year in America, during which time no one had come forward. So if disciples left him alone to clean his own apartment or shared his bathroom, he tolerated it. During this time, his dress was also distinct in certain ways from later. He did not wear kurtas but a chadar over his bare chest, or he wore an inexpensive turtleneck jersey that had been supplied by his followers. He rode with them on the buses and subways and trains, and he didn't travel very widely, but stayed in each center for months at a time. This changed during the period when the movement grew quickly. From 1969 all the way to 1975, Srila Prabhupada, by his own empowered endeavors, became a world leader of a major religion. It was a time of tremendous exertion for him. He revitalized India and with Krishna conscious preaching, personally traveling widely there and managing the construction of major temples. He also regularly made worldwide tours. As he initiated hundreds and thousands of disciples, he was not quite so accessible to the individual disciples as he had been in the earlier days. Now, by his arrangement, his leaders, especially the temple presidents, sannyasis, and his GBC, handled more of the affairs, although the final decisions and the burden for everything always rested with him. The third phase was his gradual withdrawal from the more intense participation in the management. In one sense, the second phase of his full participation in the expansion of ISKCON always continued. But it is true that Srila Prabhupada began to allow his GBC representatives to take over more and more. At least that was his desire. He expressed that he wanted to spend more time writing. He began to stay longer in India, where he seemed to feel more at home. And when he did make yearly tours to America and the West, he didn't become much involved in the management of the temple, but lectured. Gradually, his public lectures were also something he assigned as the responsibility of older disciples. While Prabhupada preached more to the devotees, giving them training as he went quickly from temple to temple. Now he no longer had to be the pioneer of every new opening in Krishna consciousness. His disciples ranged far and wide over the globe to open new places based on Srila Prabhupada's credibility and armed with books. Then, in the last year, he clearly changed his mood of activity and stayed almost entirely in India as his bodily activities diminished. More and more, he moved into his very last departure pastime. He gathered a few disciples near him for intimate personal service and made arrangements for the continuation of the movement after his disappearance. While some of these changes in Prabhupada's behavior over the years are undeniable, Prabhupada had many unchangeable qualities. As he said, "There was never a time when I forgot Krishna." Prabhupada also said that he was always the same, even from the first days of his arrival in America. The only difference was that Krishna sent men and money, and with these, Prabhupada transformed the Krishna conscious preaching, although he personally stayed the same. Srila Prabhupada said, "ISKCON may be big, but I am small." He always was the pure person, the empowered preacher, and the kind well-wisher manifested in different roles as Krishna required. He did not become in any way affected or spoiled by his success. Over the years, Srila Prabhupada began to wear nicer sannyasi clothes, to ride in nicer cars, travel on jets. He accepted millions of dollars on behalf of Krishna, but he remained the same pure servant and used everything for the Lord without any enjoying tendency. Whatever was appropriate and useful for his service, he accepted. He always wanted the whole world to become Krishna conscious, and he was ready to work for it constantly. He was always very sweet and considerate, and he was always in direct touch with Krishna. He always carried his japa beads in a bag and chanted on them. And he always wore kantimala around his neck and tilaka on his forehead. He always worked on translating transcendental literatures such as Srimad Bhagavatam, rising in the early morning and dictating his Bhakti Vedanta purports. He never changed his philosophy the way speculating scientists or Western philosophers or stylish culture heroes and businessmen adjust theirs with time in order to stay popular. He always gave out the same precious product, the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna, exactly as he received it from his spiritual master. George Harrison noted and appreciated this quality in Prabhupada when he stated, "He was always just speaking about Krishna, and it was coincidental who happened to be there. Whenever you saw him, he would always be the same. It wasn't that one time he would tell you to chant the Hare Krishna mantra, then the next time say, 'Oh no, I made a mistake.' He was always the same." We followers of Prabhupada may also carefully learn this art from his Leela, how to keep up with the times and adjust according to time, person and place, and yet how to keep our original Krishna conscious personality intact. Prabhupada's deep, unchanging convictions are miraculous when one considers how he didn't change in coming to America. He never changed his basic dress or eating or regulated living, despite advice from Swamis who told him to do so. Also miraculous was his ability to make dynamic adjustments, such as giving his disciples a japa quota they could actually perform, and is allowing equal rites of initiation to women. All glories to the steady course of Srila Prabhupada's pastimes in this world. All glories to his fixed position, more dependable than the steady orbit of the sun in the sky. And all glories to his transcendental intelligence in preaching, by which he changed his ways according to the indications of Krishna for the best results in presenting Krishna consciousness to the unwilling conditioned souls. May his Krishna conscious movement continue to reflect these two strengths of change and endurance. Thank you. Hare Krishna.